who has wisdom? Okay, who has wisdom? Beginning in verse 13 of James chapter 3, it says here, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace in them that make peace. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you have given us. And as we take the time this morning to consider this passage, I ask that you open up our hearts to your word. Help us to not only get a good understanding of what we find here, but Lord, help us to find something we can apply. Holy Spirit, I pray you work in our heart and just teach us this morning from your word. You know the spiritual need of each individual, and I pray that you'll provide that. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin pretty much with the same question that James started this passage with, is who is a wise man? Or who is a wise woman? Or who is a wise person? In other words, who has wisdom? Who has wisdom? Now, the answers vary depending upon who you ask this question. You may find someone say, well, a scientist has wisdom, or a doctor has wisdom, or a lawyer, or an inventor, or the list can go on and on and on of someone they say will have wisdom. You know, do they really have wisdom? That's the question. Do they have wisdom? I think that depends on what wisdom is. What do we consider wisdom? This morning, I want us to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says wisdom is. And so, once we understand what God says is wisdom, then we can answer this question, who has wisdom? So let's describe wisdom first. Let's describe it. Someone has put it this way, that knowledge is information, and wisdom is the correct use of that information. In other words, you can have knowledge without wisdom. Okay, you can have information, you can gain this, and then the next step would be wisdom, to use that knowledge you have and to use it correctly. In other words, knowledge informs and wisdom directs. So let's use an illustration of this. There's a few we can learn. I've used this one in the past. I'll use it again. Knowledge is the ability to take a car apart. Now, I have some knowledge. Wisdom is to put it back together again and have it start up and run. I don't have that wisdom as far as a vehicle and a motor and everything else. I can take it apart, well, but if you ask me to put it back together, you have to ask somebody else. You have a whole lot of screws all over the place when I'm done, and it's not going to come close to starting. So when it comes to vehicles, that's an illustration of knowledge and wisdom. Here's another illustration. John Newton used to use this one. He said this. He said, learned men, scholars in other words, he said, may be able to call a broom by 20 names. He says, in Latin, Spanish, Dutch, Greek, etc. He said, but my house cleaner, who knows the way to use it, but only knows it by one name, in this area, is wiser than them. In other words, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge and apply it. You see, people go to college, receive an education. They get the information. Now, what they do with it afterwards, that's either wisdom or lack of wisdom, how they apply that. There are many with knowledge that lack wisdom. And this morning, we want to make sure we know what wisdom is and that we have it. So what is wisdom? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to begin this morning here in this passage in verse 10. If you're taking notes, I'm going to be in Proverbs 9. And in verse 10, it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Bible tells us here. You see, true wisdom is when one knows the Lord. That's when true wisdom is. You think about what we would call wisdom of the world, and We'll get to that here in our next message next week. But the wisdom of the world, there's nothing wrong with knowledge. I think education is excellent. If you can attain a degree or get education, then go for it. The Lord bless you. But understand, that is what we would term as wisdom of the world. You see, you can have all the knowledge of the world, and if you don't know God, do without what we would call true wisdom. That's the knowledge of God, that God can impart to somebody. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, that word fear there is referring to like a respect or a reverence. It's not referring necessarily to a fear of running away, but a fear of understanding who this person is and the power that the Lord has and the might. You know, when you begin to consider God, I think the more we think on the Lord, the more we probably will fear. And I'm not talking about a trembling fear as much as a respect and a reverence of who he is. Let's just consider the Lord for just a moment. Do you realize God is in control of all things? All things. You know, we like to think we're in control of some things, but in reality, we're not. It's God who's in control. We're here this morning by God's grace. You awoke this morning by God's grace. You see, God has given you another day. That's his choice, to permit you to have another day. You see, God is in charge. He's almighty. If you begin to think about him, then there should be some respect and reverence for the Lord, of who he is and the power that he has. And so, when one knows the Lord, then they have wisdom. Now, that's more than information, more than knowledge. That's the ability to use it correctly. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. If you're taking notes, I'm going to read chapter 3 and in verse 15. Now, today, this is a lengthy introduction. I have 3 points coming. This is a long introduction because I want to establish what wisdom is. And then we'll look at the rest of that passage here in a minute. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. And it says here in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Notice he says there, make you wise, give you wisdom unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. You know, wisdom is from the Lord and it's through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. We can receive the wisdom of God when we know Christ. When one believes on Jesus Christ, they accept him as their Savior, they're brought into a relationship with God, and then they can receive the wisdom that the Lord has. And that's where we find wisdom. Now, that wisdom is from above, by the way. You're not going to find that wisdom anywhere else. The wisdom of God is not found in textbooks. It's not found in experiences or anywhere else in this world. It's directly from the Lord. It's from above that God gives to those that belong to him. So a wise man is a man that personally knows the Lord. Or a wise woman is a woman who personally knows the Lord. Someone who knows God and has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And a wise man, as we'll see this morning, will display what is found in this verse. And here's my 3 thoughts, okay? Who is a wise man? We'll go back, if you would, to James chapter 3. I have 3 thoughts. I'm going to give them to you up front. So if you're taking notes, you can write them down. First, a wise person will display what we would call a good conversation. Second, a wise person will display a good conduct. And then finally, they will have good character. Okay? And this is all taken from James 3 this morning. And you'll notice here in verse 13. James 3 verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Okay, a wise person is someone who knows God, fears God, knows him through his son, Jesus Christ. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Okay, let's get into this morning. Here's where we're going to find what I would call not only a wise man seen or a wise woman seen, but the evidence of their wisdom. First, a good conversation. A good conversation. You know, the Bible tells us here in verse 13, it says, let him show out of a good conversation. Now, over time, some words change their meaning. Often the meaning is expanded, okay, to be general or to mean something else. And sometimes that word shrinks a little bit. Here's what I mean by that. This word conversation. Today, when you say conversation, for the most part, you think of verbal words. Conversation maybe between 2 people. Conversation on the telephone. Maybe even a texting. You think of conversation. But this word here in the scriptures, conversation, it refers to a bigger picture. It refers to the whole manner of someone's life, not just their words, but basically their whole manner of life, the way they live. Their conversation is how that word is described. So, this encompasses more than just what we say, or what we type, or what we text. This also covers the desires of a person, the direction of a person, how they live, what they do, what they want to do. That's their conversation. Basically, their manner, who they are. So in this verse, you know what we're told? We're told that wisdom, if someone is wise, it will be seen in their conversation. They'll have a good conversation. In other words, wisdom will be heard in their words. We'll start with verbal because that's what we often think of when we think of conversation. It'll be heard in their words and the way that they speak. Now, you know, words are important. And we must choose our words wisely. And in this case, a wise person will be known by their words. You know, you listen to someone long enough, you can pick up some things, right? I think as a Christian, if you're saved, if someone listens to you long enough, they should say, even if they don't know Christ themselves, they'll say, there's something different about that person.
Sure.
They talk about God. They talk about the Lord. They don't talk after a worldly fashion. Their conversation is good. And I think that's something that a wise person will have. See, wisdom will be heard in the words. Also, it's going to be seen in our behavior. Okay, what I mean by that is going to be seen in the way we act. Whether it's in a difficult time or when things are going well, people are going to see that, hey, there's something different there. And it's going to be known by where we go and what we do. See, our conversation, our whole life. In other words, it's more than just Sunday morning, all right? More than just Wednesday night. Wisdom will be seen Monday through Saturday as well. They'll see by how you live your life, where you go, what you do, even the way you dress, and the way you carry yourselves. It's going to be seen in that. There's going to be wisdom or a lack of wisdom. That's what the Bible is telling us here. That if there's wisdom there, it'll be noticed. If wisdom is missing, that's going to be noticed as well, because it's not going to be there. And so that's what we find. Now, I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about just living life. People are going to notice, hey, that's a person who's wise. Now, they may not use the word wise, but they may say, hey, that's a person who maybe is prudent or good or different than some other people, because guess what? Listen to the way they talk. You don't talk like the world. You don't hear the filthy words coming out of their mouth. You don't hear hate. You don't hear gossiping. You don't hear all these other things coming. You hear good words, kind words. You hear positive. You see, you hear the words of the Lord or talking about things of God. And so that's going to be evident in the way that a wise person talks. You know, and here's some thoughts here. I'm going to meddle now, okay, as a pastor. I won't say long, though, because I don't want to get too much trouble. But, you know, this is going to be seen at home and heard at home. All right? People are going to say, you know what? Even when no one's around, they're going to try to do their best to be like Christ. So it's going to be heard at home. Also, it's going to be heard at church. And it's going to be known at church. It's going to be heard at work. And it's going to be known at work. Now, here's the meddling part. It's going to be even seen in your car when you're driving down the road. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's hard to be a Christian. You know, I put it this way. You know, as a Christian, sometimes we can be willing to give someone all the help they need, whether it's the shirt off our back or money or finances, but don't dare cut me off in traffic and get in front of me. I don't want that. You see, the way we live is just going to be seen. Now, folks, let me just tell you this. It's not that we'll be perfect, all right? There's no perfect person except Jesus Christ. It's that we will strive to be like our Lord and Savior, and it'll be evident. It'll be seen. Because when we do make mistakes, we'll seek God's forgiveness. And we'll try to live correctly, and we'll do our best to walk with the Lord. So this wisdom will drive the desires of a Christian, and it'll direct their steps. That's just pretty much what we find here. And it's the wisdom of the Lord. It's going to shape their lives. Now, let me also say this. When someone is a young Christian and they're first saved, well, yeah, they're going to make some mistakes early that maybe a Christian who has been saved for many years is not going to. But that comes with growing in God's grace. And as they grow, they'll learn. And as they learn, then they'll
be a stronger Christian. You see that wisdom will start to shine through more and more.
So that's a good conversation. Let's go back to James here, chapter 3. Notice he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. And notice this, his works with meekness of wisdom. So let's talk about conduct now, our good conduct. That's works. And this refers to basically the result of wisdom. In other words, if you have wisdom and you belong to God, eventually that's going to be seen in your conduct. It's going to come out. You're here this morning, right? You could be, I don't know if anybody plays golf, but you could be playing golf. You could be out on a boat. You could be somewhere else. But you're here. You want to know more about the Lord. You want to sing praises unto God. You want to worship with a church family. You see, that alone basically is a work, a conduct. Basically, people will see, hey, that's how they live. Not because you have to, because you want to. You've been changed. You want to serve the Lord and know more about Him. So a wise person will make correct choices. And it'll be seen in their conduct or their works. You know, the book of James, the whole book of James deals with faith and works. And basically, he tells us that faith produces good works. It's not the other way around. And some people get into this mindset. They think they got to work, so that their faith will be strong and they'd be accepted by God. No, God says it's the opposite. James said it's the opposite. He said, you are accepted. We're a sinner. We can do nothing worthy before the Lord. God saves us by His grace and His mercy. And once we're saved, He changes our life, gives us a new life, and that faith produces those good works. Those good works come because we belong to God, because we've been changed, and because we're saved. See, that's just part of the wisdom that the Lord gives us. So let me give you something to think about here on good works in a Christian. Let's consider someone who is saved. And let me explain this to make sure we're all on the same page. A saved person is not just going to church, all right? Going to church is good, but that's not going to save anybody's soul. A saved person is not saved just because their mom or their dad was saved or they grew up in a home of Christians. That's good, but a relationship between you and the Lord is between you and the Lord. Salvation, the Bible teaches, is simple. It's understanding you're a sinner, that you have sinned against God. And once you understand that you're a sinner, you also understand that your inability to change that as far as your own power, your own strength, your own might. And by the way, nobody else can change that either, because we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners, the Bible teaches. And then you have to understand that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and laid down that life on the cross so that way you can be saved. Now, up to that point, guess what? That's all knowledge, folks. You know, I know some people today that could quote verses and scriptures, who've read the Bible in and out, and that's where it stops. I actually got a good friend like that, and I pray for him every single day. It stops right there. He's probably read the Bible more than some Christians, yet he has never put his faith in Christ, and the wisdom of God is not in his heart. See, you can have all the knowledge, but until you put your faith, in other words, until you understand you're a sinner, recognize that you need God, and you repent. You turn from your sin, you turn to God, and you believe only on Him, His Son, Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Christ, believe on Christ. The Bible says, ye shall be saved. Once you're saved, your life will be changed, and you're part of the family of God. So that's what salvation is. I want to make that clear this morning. Hope and pray you're saved. If not, that can be taken care of. Just do what was said there. Believe on Christ for salvation. Ask Him into your heart to be your Savior. But let's consider this. Let's say a saved person. That's what we're going to consider. One that is saved. They turn to God in the world. And you know the Bible teaches? Once you're saved, you're no longer a servant of sin. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a wonderful thought? In other words, sin is not your master anymore. Mm-hmm. Now you can be tempted. And we live in a world of sin. And there's a lot of temptations out there. But you don't have to sin. It's not in your nature as far as God has changed you. And it's no longer your master. Actually, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is now your Lord. That He's your master. And we should be like Christ. And He'll give us the strength to live unto Him. So you've been set free from sin and been given a new master, Jesus Christ. And because of this, you now have power to reject sin and separate from it. Oh, of course, there's going to be temptations. And by the way, you may stumble. We have the flesh, and we may say something or do something. That's why the Bible tells us if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. and cleanses from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. So if you should make a mistake, let's say that you, now nobody here, I'll use myself as an example, I'm getting in trouble. I wake up one day and I'm just in a rotten mood, and then I just go out and I just say something that I shouldn't say. I say it out of the flesh. I just react. Well, you know what? I've sinned. I wasn't led by the Spirit. I was led by my own flesh, my own emotions, my own desires. And I said something I regret. Well, you know what I need to do? I need to apologize first off to who I sinned against, but then I need to apologize to God if I sinned against Him. Any sin is against God. That's what 1 John 1:9 says. We confess our sin, faithful and just, and forgive us our sin. Now, that's not talking to lost people. It's talking to saved people there to get right with God and be blessed again. So, we may make a mistake, but God will forgive us and bless us. Turn, if you would, to Romans 6. Let me show you a good passage here that fits what we're talking about. Romans chapter 6 this morning. And I'm going to begin verse 12. We'll read verses 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 6. Notice it says here, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, the Bible teaches that once you're saved, you can be an instrument of righteousness. Not an instrument of unrighteousness, but an instrument of righteousness. And a wise person will be an instrument of righteousness. Okay, wisdom will give a believer the ability to discern right and wrong. And they can be an instrument of righteousness. Now let's just think on that for a moment. How about we think of musical instruments? Now, I'm not a musician by any stretch of imagination. I played trumpet for a little bit when I was in junior high, I think, but that's about it. So I'm not a musician at all, okay? But I can tell you this, for the most part, I can pick out different instruments. I can tell the difference between a trumpet and a flute by sight and also by sound. I can pick out the difference between a piano and a violin, same thing, by sight and by sound. You see, they're instruments of music, but they produce different music as far as the sound. Now think of it this way. The Bible says that we are to be instruments of righteousness. Okay? That goes back to our works, our good works, our conduct. In other words, someone should be able to look at our lives and say, hey, you know what? They're different. They're different because the way we live produces good works. It doesn't produce contention. It doesn't produce problems. But it produces good works. You see, that's what we desire. A wise person will be an instrument of righteousness. Not of unrighteousness, but of righteousness. And so, what we find is wisdom gives us that ability to do that. Now, how does this happen? Here's how I think it happens. You see, wisdom, that's the correct use of knowledge. Let's get back to that. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. You see, wisdom enables someone to discern right and wrong. You know, you could take two people, and they can look upon the same situation, and they can come to two different conclusions. You could have someone without wisdom, without God. You know, they may look at a situation. You know what they'd say? They say, I can do that. There's nothing wrong with going there. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's no big deal. I can do as I please. And then you can take someone who knows the Lord. They have the wisdom of God. And they may look upon a situation. You know what they may say? They may say, I can do that, but I should not do that. Well, there's a difference there. I can, but I will not. Because I don't want to please self, I want to please God. You see, Jesus Christ, our example, lived to glorify God and carry out the will of the Father. And that should be the desire of a wise person, to do what God would expect, to please the Lord. See, wisdom will direct the wise person to produce good works. You know, as a church, as a pastor, I don't need to follow people around. By the way, I don't either. I don't need to be a spiritual police officer and follow people. That's not my responsibility. You see, the Lord will take care of that in a person's life, in a person's life. And when someone is walking with God and they have the wisdom of the Lord, guess what? God will direct them and give them the ability to discern. And
and say, yes, I can, or no, I can't, or yes, I should, or no, I shouldn't. And the Lord will work. You see, the Lord gives that wisdom, and a wise person will live wisely. And that's what we find in this passage here. This is just the beginning, but that's what we find, that they'll have good conduct.
And then number three, real quick, good character. Notice it says here at the end of, we'll go back to James chapter 3, and in verse 13, he says here, I'll read the whole thing. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of a good conversation, his works. And then notice this, with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. So here we have this word meekness. That's what I'll talk about next. This word meekness. Now, when you think of meekness, sometimes people think of weakness. They think of meekness. But let me explain or help us understand this. Basically, meekness is unassuming. In other words, one doesn't think of self when they're meek. One denies self when they're meek. And one acts with others in mind. Someone described it this way, meekness is when you have the power to do something, but you don't. That's what meekness is. Let me give you an illustration. I think the greatest illustration of meekness is Jesus Christ. Remember when he was betrayed in the garden? Peter tried to defend him. He didn't need Peter's defense, by the way. Peter thought he did it. And Peter took that sword and he lopped off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And by the way, I don't think Peter was aiming for the ear. I think he was just a fisherman who had a sword. He was probably aiming for something else and he missed. And he hit that ear and that ear came off. And what did the Lord do? He stopped it. And he healed that man. Right? He healed him. And that's when he told him, he said, I could have 12 legions of angels. He could have ended all of that right then and there. Everything. I'm glad he didn't, though, because, of course, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have salvation. You see, that's what meekness is. When you have the power to do something, but you withhold that power for good. And Christ definitely wasn't weak. He was meek. And the Bible here tells us that wisdom, that's what it'll produce. It'll produce meekness of wisdom. In other words, a meek person will not always have to have it their way. Will not always have to say, oh, it's got to be my way or the highway or this is it, or this is that. No, a meek person, I think a meek person will listen. A meek person will hear things out. Now, may not always agree, but they will listen. A meek person will be tolerant of others, too. I tell you what, folks, we don't always have to agree in this world to be friendly to people, to be praying for people, and to care for others. By the way, as Christians, we don't always have to agree either. You know what? This isn't the only church in town. These are not the only Christians in town. There are other Christians. There are others that are saved in this state and in this nation. And sometimes we may not agree on every single thing, but if someone's saved, they're a brother in Christ or they're a sister in Christ. You see, meekness understands that. Meekness recognizes that. And you see, it's not weakness, but strength. Here's what we find with a meek person. You know what a meek person can do? They can endure, and I like this description. It's not original to me. That a meek person can endure foolish behavior. Not condone it, but can endure it. And say, you know what? I don't agree with it. It's foolish, but guess what? I understand you're right. That's your freedom. You can do that. I don't agree with you. But guess what? You can do that. You see, that's what meekness is. And a wise person is meek. You see this one? That's the character of a wise person. The character of a wise person is meekness. So here is the closing thoughts for you. I'm going to wrap it up here this morning. True wisdom is from God, okay? True wisdom is from God, and it's found in Jesus Christ. We don't find it anywhere else. It's found in Jesus Christ. He is wisdom. And this wisdom that he has is imparted to the believer once you're saved. So a wise person knows the Lord. Yeah, that's the beginning of wisdom. A wise person knows the Lord. They fear the Lord. They respect him, and they reverence him for who he is. That's the beginning of wisdom. And a wise person, I believe, their rule in life is God's will. Because they know the Lord, and they fear him, and they respect him, and they're obedient to him. You know, that's one of the tests of love. Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, a test of love is obedience. We find that in families. Children may say they love their parents, but if they're out there not listening, doing whatever they want, then they're not backing up those words. You see, obedience. Someone says, you love the Lord, then obey the Lord. And so someone who is wise, their rule in life will be God's
word, God's will.
Now, the Bible, I believe, is God's revealed will. What I mean by that, he's given us his will right here. How to be saved, how to live for him, what to know. But as you live, it'll also guide and direct your steps. And your desire should be to seek his will in your life. Not your will, not what you want, but what God wants. And then secondly, a person who is wise, their purpose in life will be to glorify God. You know, 1 Corinthians tells us, whether for we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. See, a wise person, those two things will be evident. They'll seek God's will, and they'll seek to glorify God as they live. You know, those two things alone, you can test almost everything out with those two things. As you go through this life, you don't need a long sheet of saying, well, I can do this, or I can't do that, or I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't. You know, just take those two with you in life. And as you make decisions, you can probably eliminate several things just by those two things. Well, is this in God's will? Or does this glorify God? If it doesn't, or if it doesn't fit in God's will, then hey, better just leave it alone and go do something else. Or go a different direction. Or go a different way. Or seek something else. You see, if we live by those, Bible says we are a wise person. So here's to answer the question, who is wise? Who is wise? One that knows the Lord, seeks to carry out his will, and lives to glorify him.